Hello, my friends. David here. It's been a while. How you doing? I hope you're well. It's been a little bit since we did one of these. About a month. Maybe you've been keeping track. Maybe not. Either way, I'm happy to be here with you, hanging out inside your earbuds or in the car. I don't know. Where are you when this is happening? I have no idea. But today's episode, we have a really fun episode. I had a conversation with a guy by the name of Jeff Ryan. He's a director, producer, and actor, and he made a movie called Youth Men, and it's a mockumentary, and depending on who you are, that might that might encourage you to want to watch it or discourage you, but either way, we talk all about the film. I actually watched it, and I thought it was hilarious. This movie really is super, super funny. As somebody who spent some time in youth ministry, I just felt seen. So I think you'll like it. If you had any experience in youth group or anything like that, whether you were a leader or a student or whatever, but it's just a really, really funny movie. He is an indie filmmaker. He makes tons of movies. And yeah, it's really great. I would encourage you to check it out. But this is just like a fun conversation. We talk all about kind of what went into making the film, sort of the heart behind it, his background within the church, and we even get into how a lot of people really do feel seen from this movie. He shares a story about how somebody at a release of the film or a screening of it, that they actually walked up to him and said how meaningful it was for her, and just super fun. So yeah, I think what you'll find in this, if you're pretty familiar with church culture, youth group, all that stuff, there's just like a gold mine of inside jokes. So if you're not in if you're not familiar with the church or anything like that, this may, depending, I don't know how curious you are for weird subcultures, but this is going to be full of sort of group in jokes. So just prepare yourself for that. But anyway, all that to say, I think you'll like it. There's tons of good stuff in there. I kind of share some of my experience. Some interesting, funny stories come to mind about going to camp, and but yeah, it's a. It's a mockumentary. It follows his character, Jeff's character, he's a youth pastor. He plays a youth pastor, and his name is Pastor D or Pastor David, which is feels a little too close to home. It's really heartfelt, kind of snarky, but just really exploring this funny, weird, wacky profession, and it's just so funny. So I would encourage you, after you listen to this, go download it, go to Amazon Prime Video, and download it. It's worth it. Supporting independent filmmakers, is, I think it's a worthy pursuit. So anyway, before we get into this episode, we have a Patreon, if you don't know, and if you'd like to support the podcast and the work that we're doing, head on over there to patreon.com/refreshinglyhonestchristian. Where you can join our small but mighty community for as little as $7 a month. You can buy me a coffee or two, and it just really helps encourage the show, and there's all types of rewards in there. Right now we're giving away pins and stickers, and we just got some t-shirts, so I'm really excited about that. So anyway, go check out patreon.com/refreshinglyhonestchristian. Check it out. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Jeff Ryan. Enjoy. There he is. This must be the guy.
David, hello.
Jeff, how are you? I'm recording, is that okay?
Oh, that's totally fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm in like the trashiest setting ever. I'm in the back of my car. So, long story short, my wife had to go to the emergency room week.
Wow.
So we went to my parents' house, and there's like construction going on at their house. So I was like, well, I can't record here. So
yeah,
I drove to a parking lot.
Back of the car is fine, man. I mean, the audio sounds great here. So,
oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, and I love that you're rocking the Youth Men sweater. It looks great.
I know.
I love it. I got to get me one of those.
I know. We thought about selling them. Yeah, I'm going to probably take it off at some point because it's sweaty, but I was like, I might as well utilize our little bit of advertising.
Definitely. Yeah.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's still early in the week. It feels like blurry, but things are going good. I can't complain. Yeah, things are good. I'm so glad that we could connect. I mean, I'm excited to get to know you a little bit. And, where are you based, by the way? I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm originally from Jersey, New Jersey.
Okay.
And, my wife and I were living in Jersey City until the pandemic, and then we moved to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And right now I'm in New Jersey, but we kind of bounce around. I lived in Massachusetts for like 5 or 6 years, went to college there and then stayed a little bit after.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of all around the East Coast.
Gotcha.
And you're in Bend,
I'm
Oregon?
In Bend, Oregon. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yeah. West Coast. I've never made my way out, in your neck of the woods, but, is your wife okay? What's going on?
Yeah, she is. I know. I was like, oh, yeah, she's in the emergency room. Yeah. No big deal. No, she's okay. It was like an unexpected emergency. It sucks for her because we were supposed to go. I have a job in Hawaii next week, and she was going to come with me just to like take a break.
Totally.
And now she can't. So I just feel bad for her. But
yeah,
she's doing okay. She's getting better.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, frick, man. That's a bummer she can't tag along with you, but is it COVID related? I mean, is it?
No, it's not COVID related, thankfully. But she's, yeah, it's like a stomach issue that was like pretty serious and we didn't know about it until it just like shot up. So,
yeah. Gosh, man.
Yeah. She's doing okay though. Thank you.
That's... Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, gosh, man. Well, thoughts and prayers, as they say. Yes.
As they say. Thank you.
But hopefully I mean it a little bit more than when people say thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
I know. I do too. I always want to say that too when like something happens and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
So I say sending good energy.
Totally. Yeah. Somehow that feels better or more genuine than thoughts and prayers. Gosh. Oh, well, man, let's get into it. I'm excited to talk about this, this movie of yours. I watched it a couple of times. Actually, I watched it again.
Oh my gosh.
Last night with my wife. She was a church kid and she was like apprehensive. She's like, oh God, don't ruin my childhood. But she also enjoyed it. And
oh, good. Okay.
As somebody who was in youth ministry for a time, I died at every little bit of it. So I'm excited to get into it. So, but first off, like, let's talk about you, man. Like, let's talk about like your upbringing. Like, were you raised in the church? Like, what's that whole story about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so the movie itself is like a bunch of people's upbringing brought together for this. But for me, you know, a lot of the details, I also play the lead character and
Pastor D.
Pastor D.
That's right.
and so I grew up going to church. I had like my like saved moment at church camp.
Right.
Literally the night after like a bunch of guys were like being total D-bags to girls. And, you know, the next day I was like, I'm sorry, God. I went to public school my whole life. Then I got pantsed in public school and everyone laughed at me. So I transferred to a Christian school that all my youth group kid friends went to. And Then I went to Gordon College, where Pete Holmes went. He's our like one famous person from
Was going to ask. So that was a funny thing. Like, I looked into the cast and I noticed a bunch of you went to Gordon College, and I'm like, Gordon College, what do I know? I'm like, Pete Holmes, like that's like a bit of his.
He's, I know.
Like Gordon is like some guy that that's like a joke. He's like, yeah, when I tell people I went to Gordon College, it sounds like my parents sent me away to some guy in the summer or something. It's like, it's so great.
I know.
But
yeah, it's been a weird, I mean, like we've tried to connect with Pete because we have a bunch of mutual friends with him. We're kind of like, you know, I think he's about 8 years older than us. And I think he definitely has a negative, or I can't speak for him, but I would assume that he probably doesn't look at like the people coming out of Gordon as people he'd want to like interact with, especially now that he's doing so well.
Totally.
And we've definitely wanted to connect just to be like, look, man, like, you know, we're like hustling too. Like we're kind of from the same world. Maybe like you'd enjoy this movie, or at least like, you know, tweet it.
Well, I tweeted it at him. I was like, Pete Holmes, like if you were a pastor, this is what I imagine. Cause it was like, it literally like, it made me think of him like that whole, it's, yeah. Cause it's based in New England. Is that right? Or new?
It is. Yeah. I mean, solely for the fact that we had like tons of people from Gordon who wanted to work on the movie. Yeah. So that's the only reason we based it in Massachusetts. And
yeah. Yeah. That's God. Okay. So I'm so curious about this experience when you got, and by the way, I cringe at this language too. So just know who you're talking to. Like the
I do. Yeah. I've checked out your podcast, man. Okay. It's awesome. So I appreciate you're making me think when I'm listening and I'm like, oh, agreed.
Well, it's, you made me think like, man, when I got saved, it was at a winter, it was at a camp, and I didn't really think, I didn't even, that didn't like dawn on me until you just said it. I'm like, wait a second. Like, I had this like really highly emotional experience in like in worship. They had like this this really big epic worship, huge production, and but yeah, tell me more about. So it sounds like you weren't raised in the church or anything like that, or
I was.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, and like I think people will probably watch the movie, and a lot of people. We've had so much backlash from this movie. We've had both sides. We've had a lot of people who left the church and would see the movie and come up to us and like thank us profusely and be like, "Finally, someone like could laugh at this stuff."
Totally.
And, so in that sense, we were like, "Oh, we actually feel like we're doing some good with this movie." And then we also had the majority of people be like, "Are you making fun of us? Like, what's the deal?" I loved youth group. I grew up going to youth group. I went to college and wanted to be a youth pastor because I was like, this was the best experience of my upbringing.
Yeah.
And I went to college. I interned as a youth ministry intern for one summer, and I was like the worst youth pastor ever. I just like hated it. I couldn't relate to kids, and I was like, I hate this job.
Yeah.
Like, I should never do this.
Yeah.
And we'd be like doing like missionary work. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, sorry. I just like don't want to like do VBS right now or whatever.
Totally.
And so it was, I mean, I just like had like a love-hate relationship. There's a lot of guilt associated with that, which I'm sure, you know, you've experienced and talked about. And
well, dude, I just up top, I have to say, like, when I was watching it, I'm like, this is one of those things like, I like it's like, you know, if you know, you know, kind of type movie. I personally felt like it wasn't a spirit of meanness or like, you know, casting stones or whatever. I thought it was like kind of like it, like you could tell there was some love with it, but also there was some like conflictedness. But it's so funny, man. It's such a funny movie.
Oh, thank you.
It, like, it made me laugh so much. And but it captured what it was like so well. Like, and I'm seeing it through the eyes of like not only a kid who went to youth group for a bit. Like, I personally wasn't raised in the church, but as a person who like was like a youth pastor for a time, like, it was just so funny. Like, you mentioned, like interacting with kids and how awkward that was. Like, the movie was so funny. I think is it Rachel, like her character? Like, there's so many awkward little moments of like this. That's exactly what it is. So I would have to imagine you have people reaching out to you being like, thank you. Like, cause it's such a universal experience, isn't it? Like, you live on the East Coast and it's like, My wife and I were talking about it's it last night. World. It's the same world. Yeah. Like, how did we create this weird little pocket of like strangeness? Like, you kind of got into some of like the purity stuff, which is like really tough for a lot of people.
That's classic.
Now. Classic. Like, do you mind sharing that?
It's classic. Like, our upbringing. Oh man, no, not at all. That was, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, there was a few things when we were coming up with the movie. We're like, we need these things. I mean, I just like, we just started journaling all the crap that we experienced at camp. And a lot of it's not even based on my own youth pastors. It's based on all these other neighboring churches I went to growing up, or these other winter camps I went to.
Yeah.
And like, no joke, in the movie, we have a scene where my character gives a sex talk and he uses a water bottle and he drops food dye in it to talk about, like, every time you go another base with a girl, it's another drop in your water bottle. And then we use like vinegar as the Jesus.
Right.
And
he cleans your sins.
With Jesus, it cleans your sins.
Yeah.
But it was so funny when we were filming, because like, he would clean your sins, but the water was like still nasty. So, I mean, it was just like, and those are like, everyone on set had heard that sermon like six or seven times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, it's universal that we get these, like, it's almost like everyone goes to this school to teach these things, or they see an example once and they try and recreate it.
Totally.
And we just explain it best by, like, the movie is as if like Michael Scott was a youth pastor.
Totally.
Because he's just the worst. He's so bad.
Yeah. It's shot in that very like office kind of like way. And I love that. Like, it's just so, it's not like overtly self-aware, but like, yeah, your character, Pastor D, it was so good, man. And the soul patch, I think I told you that while we were emailing, like every youth pastor where has a soul patch and like calls every one of his youth kids buddy. Like, oh, hey buddy. Hey buddy. Like,
yeah,
that's it, man. You guys freaking nailed it. It's one of those things, man. Yeah. So were you raised in like a small church environment? Was it, I don't know. What was that experience for you like?
Yeah, I was raised in like our youth group was like on the bigger side, I think. Maybe not like mega church, but we, you know, I think the church congregation was like 500 and it was like suburbs of New Jersey, and our youth group would have like up to 75 to 100 kids on a Friday night, which was a lot, I think, for a non-mega church. And I always thought we were like semi-progressive growing up. And then like I got to, you know, high school and like, or like in New York City, and I'm just like, oh my God, like I grew up in like such a really, really sheltered, like my worldview was just kind of rocked when I left school, honestly. And I just remember like wishing that I had more experiences early on, because I was just so far behind to even have conversations with people in a way that was, you know, in some ways not hurtful or just not understanding that other people could have totally different experiences than me. And it was crazy. It was a strange upbringing for me.
Man, you can't help but do this when you watch a movie, but you filter it through your own lens. And that's what I was doing the whole time. And it reminded me of this. So like the main church that I was a part of and still am, I guess, technically, is a mega church. And like the youth camps that we would go to, like, they were huge. They were like, it was a mega church. It was like, we would fill like three charter buses. But this other church that I worked with for a little bit, again, man, I don't know what I literally felt, because it's in that like documentary style. Like, you literally could have been recording like a legitimately real youth group. Like, it captured like that small church youth ministry so well. Like, you guys load up in the Sprinter van and you have like just the six kids that are a part of that little church. And
they're all so different.
They're all so different. And this is also universal. Like, you have each type. Like, you have the goth girl. You have the really quiet girl. I forget her name. Is it Hannah?
Ruth
is in every youth group I've ever seen, man. Like, she's so quiet. And, like, one of the things you were just saying there about, like, your experience, like, maybe being limited. There was, what's the kid that doesn't know what a blowjob is?
Thomas,
you can't be Jesus. So funny, man. It also captured, like, that youth group, like, homeschooled innocence that you see. Like, it's very sheltered, and it's, like,
yeah.
Because my wife, she was homeschooled, and I think that's, like, she was, like, that's what she was kind of nervous about. She was, like, oh, no, like.
Sure. of course.
But it was interesting, man. I want to say this for the listeners. If there's anyone who's listening that's, like, oh, maybe apprehensive, like, it sounds like it's already gotten some pushback. But, dude, I feel like it was made with love. I would say I felt the love. Yeah. I think, like, the truest thing you could have done is the best thing you could have done is be truthful about of what it really was like. And I feel like, even though it is kind of, like, you know, funny and whatever, like, I really do feel like it feels like, to me, like, I hope this isn't cheesy, like, kind of like a love letter in a way, like,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our entire goal with the movie, and everyone took it very seriously because our crew is mixed of people who are actively Christians and people who are like, I'm never, ever going to be a Christian again.
Totally.
And everyone kind of met on this middle ground where it's like, okay, no matter where you are, we can laugh about the ridiculous parts that we grew up with and we don't have to say, like, all Christians are bad because it's not true. And we don't have to say, like, all non-Christians are bad because it's not true. And, you know, the sex talk was a great example because we spent hours and hours and hours trying to find ways to communicate this in a way that just shows that my character is an idiot. His intention is maybe correct, but he just goes about it in always the worst possible way. If he wants to say, like, respect people of the opposite sex in a relationship, he's going to do it in probably the worst example ever and make everyone so uncomfortable. And instead of saying blowjobs, he says mouth on privates. And just, like, I remember having these talks, and it is a love letter because, you know, and I think the pushback we get is in the advertising of the movie and calling Youth Men a mockumentary.
Right.
I think when people actually watch it, they'll get it.
Yeah.
And honestly, we said this while we were at festivals. We were like, I'm okay saying I'm still a Christian if you watch the movie, because you'll get my perspective. You'll see that I'm probably a little more aware of myself than I would be if, you know, I'm walking through New York City and I'm like, I'm a Christian.
Totally.
where, you know, people, like, shut the door in your face and you're like,
yeah,
peace.
For good reason. And
I
think that's the thing, man, is, like, so many of the youth pastors that I can think of, especially in small churches, and I don't want to pick on small churches, but so many of the, like, it's almost like, who wants to be the youth pastor? It's like, oh, I'll volunteer, just some guy. And I think, like, he is, like, kind of an idiot. Like, I think he's well-meaning. Like, he's kind of a lovable idiot. Like, but at the same time, like, what they pass along, and it's not, I don't think it's intended by any means. But I do think that what they do is they pass along a lot of, like, hurt, and I feel like what a lot of people are talking about now today is, like, honestly, like, trauma. Like, we're kind of taught a lot of really fucked up stuff as Christians early on that really screws up our worldview later on. And it's like, you know, like, I can think of people, you know, who now are, like, trying to, one person in comes to mind, like, who I feel like would watch this movie and feel seen. So I feel like you guys have done something beautiful in that regard. But
The Lord's work.
Yeah. You are doing the Lord's work, my friend. That's right. You mentioned, like, going on, like, missions or whatever, like, what, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything when I say, like, you did the foot washing towards the end. I was dying. I'll tell you a quick story. So we took some kids in our youth group. I don't know who it, well, it wasn't my idea. It was, like, the main youth pastor's idea to join this other like youth group in town to go on a mission to Skid Row in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And we were going to, like, and some of it was cool. Like, some of it was, like, we're going to go to some missions and, like, help and like, do food and whatever. But literally, one of the missions was they literally had us go washing people's feet, like, on Skid Row. And, first of all, like, if you don't know what Skid Row is, I'm sure you do, like... It is so dangerous. Like, you're bringing high school kids. Like, literally, at one point, like, one guy, I forget the full story of it, but, like, somebody, like, one guy almost, like, pulled a gun out on some kid that we had with us.
Wow.
Like, just stupid crap like that. But the thing that it made me think of was, like, okay, like, biblically, like, you think of, like, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Like, he's humbling himself, like... But, like, right. I think what's so funny about that culturally is, like, how many youth groups, like, have taken that and tried to apply it to, like, our modern context, which it does not mean the same thing in any way. It's just awkward. No. It's just awkward.
Yeah, it's so awkward. And also, it's like, what am I going to do with, like, clean feet? And the rest of me is, like, maybe still dirty. It's like...
Totally.
We included that foot washing scene because, I mean, that's a ridiculous story, by the way. needs to be like fully unpacked at some point.
We probably traumatized some kids on that trip. So yeah.
For sure. But they'll never wash another foot again.
No.
I used to go to Mexico to like build houses, and it wasn't until like I was an adult and I was like, man, we would like build a house when like maybe they didn't even want it. I don't know. Like.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're like building a house, and I would leave feeling great. And they're like, well, what am I going to do with this? Like, I have to pay property taxes now. Like, jeez. You know, I don't know. It was just like this joke that kind of spurred this movie on, which initially this movie was going to be like a short-term missions trip. Cause it's always like that joke in the Christian community where, you know, you go on short-term missions trip for you, not for the people. But we took from that, we had to do like a foot washing thing. And I remember like just being disgusted by like cleaning people's feet as like a high schooler. I was like, this is like fucking disgusting. I'm not going to touch people's feet right now. Like their nails are not cut and they're like kind of yellow.
Yeah. Oh, it's so gross.
It was a mess.
It's such a mess. Well, and that's the thing, like, okay, so not to like Bible nerd out, but like when I went to college and learned about, I don't know, like whatever, like that, it meant something completely different because like people, like you walked around like all the time and your feet were constantly dirty. Again, it just meant something completely different. But it's amazing how we take these weird things and try to apply it, and oh man, it's just forcing it at the end of the day. It's weird.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's, I mean, maybe the intent is not always bad. It's just like the action of how you carry it out is not always, it's like not knowing your audience in a way.
Yeah.
Like you're just not knowing how to apply the good intention you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the easiest thing is like do what Jesus did, but that doesn't always translate.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know. It's,
yeah.
Depends on the situation, I suppose.
Totally. Yeah. Man, I have to say, like, oh man, with my experience in youth ministry, like it really, again, it just made me laugh. Like, I'm like, it just how accurate it was. But I think about like, I don't know, like there was like a lot of good that came from like youth groups and stuff, but at the same time, like so much bad. And that's like, you can't totally like separate the two. So it's kind of hard. Like it really is conflicting at times, but one of the things I feel like it kind of, I don't know if it meant to show this, but for me, it just reminded me of like some of the ways that I felt sometimes during your youth group, particularly like churched kids in particular, was it at the end of the day, sometimes it just felt like glorified babysitting. Like that, like that's kind of what it was. Like, I think a lot of pastors are like, they're trying to be they really are at the end of the day. They're just trying to like be like a pastor, but like for so many youth pastors, it's like a foot in the door. I don't know if you've seen that. It's kind of funny. Like, but like,
yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always like a stepping stone usually for a church. At least a lot of the youth pastors I know end up being a lead pastor at some point.
Which it's right. Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is like that right there for me, I feel like is a recipe for disaster. Like it's almost like we're, there was like one moment where, I don't know, like the youth pastor or Pastor D, your character, like I felt like he was one of the kids at one point, like he was just a little bit older, you know?
Oh,
like,
for sure.
But it's like, it's almost like, I don't know, like particularly when we get into like the spiritual stuff or like, I don't know, like the fun stuff about youth group, it's like you have the games and you have like the ice cream eating competitions and you have all the, you know, all that stuff, yeah. Which I think some people can like remember fondly and like, that's fun. But then you bring in like the spiritual aspect and then you have a pastor who really, for the most part, like doesn't really know what he's talking about. And he's like it really is like, I had a professor once tell me like, it's called, you know, when you're getting operated on like, or by a doctor, it's like, they call it a practice. What they're doing is they're practicing on you. And you think of that with like pastors, it's like, especially youth pastors, bearing that in mind, like for a lot of them, this is like their first step into a spiritual context where they have spiritual authority. They're wielding this Bible.
Correct, yeah.
And I just, it's like, it's kind of like a, and you, the fallout of it is like you get, you have like some, you really do cause a lot of pain, you know, like, and unless you can see it for what it was, which is like, oh, this was just like a volunteer. This was just like some guy who didn't really know what he was talking about. He was trying to get on, the stage at big church. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't mean to pick on pastors, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I agree. I mean, it's a weird world for sure. I think the intent is always, well, I think there's a lot of demand too. Like a lot of parents put, at least when I interned, and I don't know if this was your experience as a youth pastor, but I watched a lot of demand from the youth pastor to kind of try and be like the solution to a kid's potential problems identified by the parents. And it's enormous pressure. And I feel like you're looked at to also have the answers.
Mm.
And I think this is part of what's wrong with like, in general, like the church as a broad picture. Obviously this is not the case for everyone, so don't hate me, people, but
it's like, safe. Yeah.
We're expected to have all the answers. And I think the problem is that we can't just say, hey, we don't know. Like, but you know, that's okay. We haven't known for a long time, but instead we choose to like pick our position so firmly, that I think it alienates people a lot of times, and people don't feel seen and people don't feel heard, mm-hmm. and they feel as though they can't have a differing opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think a great youth pastor is someone that just asks questions and lets a kid think about it because they haven't thought about it before. And honestly, just being a friend is what I think the best youth pastors were. And, you know, I still am in touch with my youth pastors and they're great people. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I sent it to them first because I was so afraid that they were going to be offended. I was like, just so you know, it's like not, this is not you in my head. Like,
yeah. That was sweet of you. That was honoring of you to do that. Yeah.
I'm doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, you are, my friend. No, it's good. Yes. So tell me about like, so I know you co-directed this film.
Co-directed, yep.
You also... you obviously also are the lead in this. Tell me about like the team behind it. Like,
Your
collective experience, like what led you to wanting to like make this film? Like, and again, know that I'm a fan. I loved it. So yeah, this is great.
Oh, thank you. Yes. There was three of us kind of like the brainchilds behind it. This was our first feature film that we made. And we have made I've made 6 shorts prior to that. And then my co-director, Ariel Cimino, and I, we made a pilot called Wicked Christian, and it's one of the worst things ever made.
Awesome.
It was like, I was trying to be like It's Always Sunny, but with like the church, and it was just, it was horrible. It's embarrassing.
I love it.
So that was like a failure. And then we were like, we kind of just joked around for years about a youth pastor movie, and we would just improv and mess around. And then we just decided, like, you know, like, F it, let's just make a feature. We have some of the equipment, we have no money, we have no, you know, famous actors to be in our movie. We certainly tried to get Pete Holmes in it, and he didn't even reply.
I've tried getting him on this podcast, and his people were like, yeah, we'll send it to him, and then never got anything.
Sure.
So fuck you, Pete Holmes. That's what we're saying. No, yeah, sorry.
Give us a break, baby. No, I mean, our good friend is Mark Stevic, which, funny enough, our second feature film is called Mass Hysteria, and that's out right now. It comes out on Shudder at some point this year. And that movie's about Salem witch trial reenactors, which Pete Holmes was also
I know. Yes. Yeah. I know.
Like, dude, I didn't even know that, and we made that movie. So, like, we should clearly, like, at least just be like, hey, acknowledge that we went to Gordon, this weird place,
totally.
And then we can carry on.
Yeah.
But yeah, we decided to make it for no money and all these things. So we rented out a summer camp for 2 weeks, and there was about 14 of us that did it. And it was a lot of just learning as we went. But myself and Ariel co-directed, and it's a funny thing to co-direct with someone, but Ariel is just like one of the funniest people I've ever met. And it was just the best part about making this movie was there was no pressure. So like, I would say a third or close to a half of the movie is improv. And we would just, like, the whole blowjob misunderstanding is somewhat in the script. And then the entire confusion conversation is improv.
Yeah.
And we just, like, found this hilarious thing on the day, and we're like, oh my God, this needs to be the movie. Let's keep going, 'cause this is ridiculous.
Totally.
And then Chris O'Connell wrote the screenplay, and he wrote like this amazing screenplay that everyone else memorized their lines. I did not, because I was the worst. I was truly like the worst person on this movie set. I just would just have no rules, and I would just go around being the most annoying person in the world. And then, we had like 10 other people kind of just filling roles that they've never really filled before. And all the actors were super great, but they're all just friends from our improv team and
Love
stuff
it.
Like that. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, you got, well, I worked on a video production crew for 3 years, and I was like, and so I've never been in front of the camera, but I mean, like, I was just like, man, like what was production like? Was it super, like, how long did you guys film for?
Yeah, we filmed for 14 days.
Wow.
We just had no idea what we were doing. So we would like meet every morning to like come up with a plan. And I created a schedule, which was like the first time using like the proper software to use for scheduling a movie. And, you know,
got your call sheet. You got your call
got
sheet,
call
Jeff.
Sheets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was trying to be professional, and like Ariel was like, everyone's already here. You don't need a call sheet. And I was like, well, we need it.
Yeah.
So we look like a real movie.
Totally.
And yeah, I mean, we shot for 14 days. I edited the movie. And then we actually made this movie back in 2017, and we had so many music rights issues that it took 5 years for me to redo everything.
Wow. Jeez.
So, yeah, this was our first movie being released second, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I saw the Salem Witch Trials. I was looking into your guys' your crew. And, yeah, is this your production company?
This is my production company, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is it FM Films or?
First Names.
First Names.
S. Films, so FN Films. But honestly, I made it because you need to like open a new LLC with every movie you make. And I already made it. So I was like, oh, I guess this is my production company now.
Love it. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Stupid name, but.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about you, man. So like, I looked into, I saw your reel, man, and you're like, I don't want to butter your bread too much, but I will. So just prepare, dude, you're great, man. Like you, first off, you killed it in this film, but like I looked at your reel and like you're first off, you're just a handsome gentleman. I have to say, stop being so handsome.
But like, well, it'll happen pretty soon.
Like, but how long have you been, did you always want to act? Like what, how did you get into making movies?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess like thank you for watching all that stuff too. It means a lot. I always wanted to be an actor, but I kind of wanted to be an actor for the wrong reasons. I was never popular in middle school. I maybe listened to too much like emo music and had buck teeth and couldn't get a girlfriend to save my life. And so I wanted so badly to be like in a commercial or something so that the girls in my school would be like, oh my God, that's Jeff. He's like on the TV. And so I was like signed up for like every scam available, just was like guinea pig for all other future actors. Like, don't do these things. Went to college. I was like, F acting, never again. Wanted to be a youth pastor because I was like, kids at youth group like me, like every other kid who studies youth. And then I did a competition in college where I had to like make a movie, and I just like fell in love with the process. And I made like skateboarding movies in middle school, but they were all, you know, just like crappy, not really any thought behind it. And I just loved it because in my head, I'm so anal that I hate being just an actor because I don't like someone else determining whether I work. And so I fell in love with filmmaking because I was just like, I can just make movies nonstop and then I'll always work.
Yes.
And so I kind of just like went gung-ho. I made like 20 shorts or something in college and they were all so bad.
That's so
and
awesome.
And when I left college, I just was like, you know, if I just make enough stuff, eventually people will notice. And 10 years into making like somewhat real stuff, it's still not being noticed. So it's a never ending cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned your improv team. Do you do improv as well?
I did like, I was on the thing Pete Holmes started at Gordon, which is called Sweaty Tooth Mad Men. I wear our Sweaty Tooth sweatshirt throughout Youth Men.
Amazing.
And I did improv. I went to New York and did like UCB and
awesome.
Kind of hated that experience, honestly.
Yeah.
It's not, no shade on UCB. But it
sure.
felt like a business, not so much like, hey, like if you're good at improv, we'll keep passing you to the next class. It was like, hey, if you'll pay us $500, we'll pass you.
Totally.
And, it's just like, my 401 class was the worst class I was in. My 101 class was more talented. And it's just,
yeah,
it just felt not like my scene. And I think people love it. And I have no bad relationships with UCB at all, but
yeah, it just wasn't what you thought it was or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just like, I don't like thinking too much about improv. Like I think there's people who are incredible improvisers and I'm definitely not one of them, but I love being able to do things like Youth Men where I just don't have to think and I could just try a bunch of things and fail. And I think that's when acting is the most fun personally.
Yeah. 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 Gosh, man. Yeah. Well, it's cool, man. I haven't had anybody, any talent, as the industry might say, on my show. So here we are. You're the talent. I'm bringing you in. Anytime I was on, because we would shoot commercials and stuff, like, our director would be and I would like sometimes I would wear a lot of different hats. Like I would I'd be a PA one day, I would be a grip another, like you know how it goes, you kind of just do a bunch of stuff, particularly on a small team. But like if we ever had some acting talent come in that we, you know, got from an agency or something, like the standard was like, don't talk to the talent. Don't bother the talent. It's like, okay. So it's like the talent walks in and it's like, you're just like stone faced, like whatever, just doing your thing. And like, anyway, but, Yeah, it's
hilarious.
Fun. Yeah.
This is, you did this in Oregon?
Yeah, for a few years. I mean, mostly we just did like commercials, like nothing huge, but yeah, yeah, it was interesting for sure.
It's a good world. It is. Yeah, I remember it's also a weird world in the Christian world. I will also say that, like, production in general, because like as an actor, you know, I'm playing a role, and the amount of, so I like my two tiny credits are like, I play Allison Janney's son who like has no lines in a movie called The Way, Way Back. And I smoke weed with Steve Carell. And like the amount of people at my school who were like, Jeff, you're a Christian and you smoked weed on this movie. And it's like, that was one thing. And then I, like, 2 years later, I played a rapist on Orange is the New Black. And I was like, well, clearly not a Christian if I could play a rapist.
Totally.
And it's just, it's such a weird world. But both those experiences were also enlightening to me, because these people that you idolize as like actors or whatever, like, are so not like, they just,
they're
don't
not
care.
Like that.
Yeah, they're just cool dudes who just want to like act, and the other things get in the way of that. And
yeah, you're like, I'm playing a character. This is not who I actually am, and it's okay that I'm. Yeah, gosh, man, and I mean, it is interesting, the Christian world, that becomes a thing. Like, you were in what? You played what? Like, you did that move? Like, how dare you? I don't know, try too hard to tie this in, but that Ephesians 4:29 tattoo, that's not a real tattoo, right? Like,
no, it's not.
Okay. But it was so funny. Like, I think it's Rachel. She's like, whoa, you got some ink? And you're like, yeah, it's a, she's like, what is it? And you're like, don't let any unwholesome talk, out of your mouth. And I'm like, what a weird tattoo. Yep. Like, of course, but like for so many, like, that is what Christianity is. Like, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't play a rapist in Orange is the New Black. But, I mean, for good reason, man. Like, this is something we get into a lot on the show. And if you're comfortable, I'd love to hear your experience or what you've seen. But there's good reason for why people are like, dude, I don't even know if I buy this anymore, like, or... or what, but like, I don't know, what has your experience been? Like, we get into a lot of like doubts, like things that you've struggled with, things that you're like, you know, I don't know, like, I don't even consider myself a Christian anymore. And here's why. Like, is there anything for and like that you'd care to speak to on that?
Yeah, it's, well, I listened to your episode with Nate Hansen, and made me think of a lot of things. Also, I saw Nate's like Twitter once, like a few weeks ago, and I was like, I remember this dude. I don't know why. And then I found out after I listened to your podcast, I filmed a wedding that Francis Chan was doing in San Francisco that Nate was, I think, like a groomsman or something, or a friend.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, back when I did weddings, so I was like, I know this face. I definitely like looked at this face while I was editing, and I can't remember him.
That's amazing. How long ago was that?
Small world. It must have been like 5 or 6 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, his story was crazy, man. Like, he was like super tight with Francis Chan. That was,
dude, that's crazy. Yeah. That basketball story, I was like, what on earth is that?
Yeah, again, like, my Skid Row story pales in comparison into that.
I mean, they're both up there. It's yeah. For me, I would still more or less consider myself a Christian. I believe in a lot of the things like that Christianity would. I just don't align with a lot of the church in a lot of ways.
Totally.
Those stories that I was listening to you guys talk about reminded me of when I was in college. I was a part of this church and I was loving it. I was like on fire for God, all those things. And we had this group from Texas come in, and they were like so spiritual, and we had this like Bible study, and it was like, you know, I had, on one hand, I had this weird experience where I couldn't stop laughing, and they were telling me it was like a Holy Spirit thing. And I was like, wow, okay, cool, man. Yeah, like give me those things, whatever.
Slain in the spirit, bro.
Yeah. Give me a sword.
Yeah.
And then like after that, they all like prayed over me and kind of like tried to get me to speak tongues. And
totally.
I felt like I was going to be like Borat in that scene where I was like, ah, la, 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 la. Because I wouldn't stop praying until I said something. So I literally, at one point, I was just like, not today, I guess. Sorry. And then that night, yes, my friend, they got this like prayer from the Lord that someone with a broken ankle was going to be healed in front of us. And I was like, me and my other friend were like, oh, our friend just broke his foot. Like, it's him. So we like run across campus on this like spiritual high. Felt like I was on drugs. And prayed over this kid's foot. And it was the same thing as like my tongues thing. It just didn't happen. And I was like, huh. And then like the next day, I saw those dudes at a dinner and none of them remembered me or remembered my name. Mm. And I was like, oh, you guys are just bullshit.
Yeah.
And you're just like, it's so fake. And then the other experience I had was I went to Hillsong, New York City for a long time. And
R.I.P. Carl Lentz. Yeah.
Yes, I know. Oh, man.
Yeah. No, but yeah, so anyway, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, but I would go there. I went like back when it was at Irving Plaza, which was like this nightclub, and it was like this cool place, obviously, but you know, I was trying to be an actor, I was trying to be a filmmaker, and I had a few friends who were like successful actors and stuff, and they would get put in like the first three rows. And then there would be this like rope that separated the famous people from like the normal people. And it was just this experience where every week I would be going to church and being reminded that I'm not there. Jeez. And that's all I thought about. And I was like, I'm not like, it just like was like all these things kind of like adding this divide between me and what, you know, my relationship with the church and God has been. That being said, when I like walk through the woods, I feel the most spiritual, not like sitting in a room reading my Bible or going to church. And church online, shoot me. It's the worst thing in the world. I'll do anything else but it. I hate it.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. But, well, for so many, that's what it's been reduced to, is like a church service or a spiritual high. And the way you're describing like that people praying over you in tongues. So I wasn't raised in a Christian environment whatsoever. And one of my first experiences after going to like a winter camp and getting saved, and I had these friends and they were in a youth group, or they had a small group that I went to. And I think at this point, no, I think this was before the winter camp. I hadn't even gotten saved. And they were like praying over me, baptizing me in the Holy Spirit, trying to get me to receive my prayer language. And dude, the way you just described it was exactly what was going in my mind. I'm like, am I going to get like controlled by like a demon and my mouth is going to be controlled like a puppet? Like, what the fuck is happening? Like, it was terrifying. Like, I'm like, what is going on? But, what's so funny about that winter camp experience too, is I remember I was jokingly like, some kid broke his leg in the skate park. And I was like, this is embarrassing. I literally said to this kid, like, as a joke, like, I just thought it was funny. I'm like, hey, man, I'm like, hey, man, can I pray for you to get healed? And he's like, earnestly, like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And like, other people came around and started praying for him. And I just walked away. Like, I was just joking. I was like, I thought he was like, because people had already done that. Like, and he didn't get healed. Like, he didn't magically get his leg fixed or whatever the first time. And I was like joking because I thought it was funny. Like, I wasn't like mocking it. I just thought like,
Like
in my world, like not a Christian world, like it's like kind of funny. Like, that's kind of like ridiculous. Like, I totally walked away. I'm like this freshman kid. I'm like, dude, it was so weird, man. But
oh, that's epic. That's amazing.
Yeah. So for you, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I thought what I thought you were going to say was, I thought you were going to say you went over to him and you said, like, get up and walk.
No, I was not at all like indoctrinated or whatever you want to call it at that point. I was just but it was weird, man. I was like, I came from a context that was not at all like pressured to like perform like that. And that breaks my heart that like you had these people that were like, for them, it was just another performance, you know, like it was all bullshit. They didn't even remember you.
I'll be honest. I started judging what church I would go to if the pastor would introduce himself to me and remember who I am. And when I left Hillsong, that's solely what I did it. I just went church to church. I would meet the pastor and I was like, if this dude can remember me. And like, funny enough, the church I went to for a while, I did a video for the church before I even went there, like some Easter Sunday thing. And I met the pastor for 2 seconds, just like on the crew. He saw me at church that next Sunday, came up to me, shook my hand, said, Jeff, right? And remembered like 3 things about me. And I was like, you have no idea the difference that makes, because I feel like you actually care enough to take the time to like remember who someone is. Where you come and like praise someone and have like this crazy night out or whatever, like you at least remember someone's face and be like, hey, you were there last night. What's your name? Instead of like, oh, hey, dude, like I'm this person.
Totally.
Like, want to speak in tongues?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like the actual human part of pastoring. Like, I feel like that's the part of pastoring that I was most drawn to, was like this very, and don't get me wrong, like I love speaking. I love all of that. Like there is a performance. There's like a performance art to that. And I love I love that. But like, I feel like at the end of the day, it's like a lot of these pastors or even, you know, just everyday Christians, like it is like, we lose sight of like the actual person in front of us, you know? And it's like, it does just become about like a whole nother thing. Like it becomes about like, how good is that sermon that I preached? Or like, did I, you know, did I save anyone? Did I pray, did I lay hands on somebody and heal them? Or did I, it's like, dude, just fucking remember my name. Like be nice. I don't know, like something like, it's a weird thing, man. Yeah.
It's the weirdest.
I feel like that's like the tagline of my show. It's a weird thing. Refreshingly honest Christian. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, I talked to a bunch of people on this show who, you know, no longer identify as Christian anymore. And dude, like there's a place for that. And it sounds like for you, like a lot of that, earnest belief is still intact, even though it's kind of, you've got there, like all of us, you kind of got some stuff along the way that wasn't so helpful.
Yeah. I would say like a big thing for me is the, I just never want to ostracize anyone.
Yeah.
Like, and I work in the arts, obviously. So like my inner circle of friends are just so different than what I like grew up with. And I'm afraid if any of them think that I'm someone that wouldn't accept them or love them for who they are and just like not try and, I don't want to change anyone's POV of anything. Like, I don't even know what the hell I believe half the time. And I just am constantly, that's kind of the thing I'm starting to accept, is like, I'm putting forward my best guess and best way of living. And I see no reason to try and make someone else believe what I believe, because I have no understanding of their experience. And
yeah,
and maybe that makes you like a bad Christian, if you will, but like, I can't fathom that. And I can't really buy into that. I tried, and it's just, everyone has their own reasons for doing things, and I can't tell anyone why they believe something. So it feels impossible to me.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I love that you're able to do that especially if it was an environment you weren't raised in. Like, there's a humility, an honest humility there And I know that's like a term that we throw around, like humility, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I really do feel like that's one of the things that I've let go of, is like kind of asserting, well, this is the truth and you should believe the truth. And right. It's like, it is, it's kind of like an evangelistic effort. It's almost like, but like what I've learned and a lot of the friendships that I've had, and again, me coming, being a person who was not raised a Christian or whatever, like, it's like, I don't know, like, you don't need to shove things down people's throat, you know, like, share it, don't shove it. Like, if people ask, great, but, you know,
yeah.
Gosh, man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, so we don't have too much time left, but I mean, tell me more about this film. Like, where can we go? When's it coming out? I have the press release right here if you want me to check it out, but where can we go learn more about all this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the movie comes out on April 28th on iTunes, Amazon, and Vimeo On Demand for something called TVOD, which is Transactional Video On Demand. So it's for rent and to buy.
Awesome.
And then we just sold to another company that's working on getting it on like the streaming platforms and Redbox and all that. So that is to be determined. But for right now, it's, you know, April 14th, our trailer comes out officially, and that's like, you know, our first like big reveal, I guess. And yeah, please, you know, spread the word, anyone listening, because this is a word of mouth movie. If you grew up going to youth group, tell your friends.
Yeah, it's so good, man. I really can't rave about it enough, honestly. Like I really did laugh so much, and I do feel like it is one of those things, like, again, like whether you had a good experience or a bad experience with youth group or whatever, I do feel like you will be seen. Like, again, like one of my favorite characters was the kid who's constantly taking notes that's Thomas.
Thomas.
Like,
yes.
Like, I just think like, so, that's so many of us. Like, it's just that earnest kid who like, he, you know, he has the Bible trivia memorized. He's got,
oh yeah, my god,
oh man,
it's got like the fancy zip up Bible to youth
it's
group,
so good,
you know, where everyone
it's
else
so good
the pew.
Yeah oh man, it's so good. And you freaking nailed the youth pastor vibe. You freaking
Thank
nailed
you.
It man. So we'll push it out as much as we can. It's so funny, man. I really loved it, and I wish you the best of luck with it, man. It's just keep making stuff,
Thank
man. I'm excited to see what you're going to do next. I'd love to have you back if
Thank you.
If you'll do it. So we should.
Oh,
we should
do, anytime, man. That's thank you so much for having us. For me.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I was wanting to meet the team, but that's okay. Who else is like doing kind of like the press tour, if you will? Like,
it's supposed to be myself, Ariel, and Chris, but they both work tons and tons of hours.
Totally.
This has been like my full time. I've been working on this movie for 5 months. The shortest, I'll keep it short, but we had Mute Math was like our music at one point. I had to redo all that with our sound mixer. And then we had the song Take On Me in the van scenes. And so that was playing out of the radio. So what you're seeing in the movie is actually a fake recorded song to match our lips, and then we all Zoom recorded us singing a new song because they were going to charge us $50,000 for the song.
My God.
So
licensing rights for music is ridiculous.
Yeah, don't ever do it. Don't ever put a song in a movie if you are ever thinking about it. Just please don't. It's the worst. Yeah, I was playing it. I literally played it through the radio, so we just had no choice. And you know. Yeah, it's a wild story, but our friends in Los Angeles made this song for us, and I don't know if you could tell. Did you know that was not the song?
No, I
tricks.
I was trying to place the music though. I'm like, well, I don't know what this is, but it's very like.
It sounds kind of like Take On Me.
Yeah, it did send my wife and I on a whole like early 2000s Christian music.
Yeah.
We were like, is this, what is this? And like, I don't know. It was funny, man. We could, that's a whole nother talk is all the
crazy.
What was your favorite? Maybe we'll wrap with this. What was your favorite like Christian band growing up? Christian song, and if you had one.
Oh yeah, I mean, I still, you know, I mean, Under Oath for me. Still obsessed with Under Oath, honestly.
That's awesome.
And I hate the church for that reason, because they like dismissed Under Oath, and I was like, these dudes are going through some real ish right now. They need some help. Stand by them. Don't dismiss them for swearing in the freaking record. Who gives a shit? Like,
that's amazing. Yeah. Were you into like, were you a scene kid? Were you like hardcore kid? Great.
I still am. That's all I listen to.
I was in a hardcore band, and I played guitar. Were you in a band by chance?
I was, and I got kicked out, but you're probably actually good. Wait, so what's like your like favorite kind of bands in that scene?
Yeah, so my favorite, so again, I was not like all the Christian kids, they were like, yeah, we have our Christian heavy bands that we love. But like for me, like it really was like a genesis. Like I was like really into like, it started out with like, in middle school, I was like into Metallica, and then it became Avenged Sevenfold, and then it became As They Lay Dying, and then it
classic.
Became, As They Lay Dying, that's a Christian band. That guy was charged for hiring a hitman to try and murder his wife. Fun fact. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. That's insane.
He's out of prison now, so good for him.
Tim Lane, back to Tim the music. Lane.
Yeah, he is. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, other bands like... who else? August Burns like Red, Mudvayne. Actually.
Oh, Mudvayne, August Burns Red's no. awesome.
Yeah. Mudvayne's a little too, like, I don't want to say, I don't know. I won't shit on Mudvayne. But I did, anyway. There was, like, a bunch of other bands that I try not to be a snob. Like, you know that guy? The guy who's, like, a tastemaker. He's like, he knows. He knows all the...
For sure.
The idiosyncrasies, all the subtleties between the genres. Anyway, I try not to be that guy, but I was obsessed.
So
but,
were you mostly like core, or did you also like emo stuff as well? Like Senses Fail type thing, or?
Yeah. One of my friends was super into like My Chemical Romance. There was like, I was actually just listening to 30 Seconds to, really? They're from Jersey? Okay.
All the good emo bands that you may like are in Jersey. Promise you that.
Oh, that's amazing. 30 Seconds to Mars. Who's the actor now? He's
Jared Leto.
He's in everything. Yeah, Jared Leto. He's another handsome guy.
That guy. He's super talented. Gotta respect that.
Yeah, man. All this that's so awesome. I'm glad, because we were listening to like really bad like rock, Christian rock, like No, now I'm like shitting on my wife, but like she listened to like
Switchfoot,
like I don't know, like the more like happy stuff, like you know what I mean, like
Newsboys.
Not Newsboys. Well, we were talking. I was like, do you know who Hawk Nelson is? Because like John Steingard recently, like I don't know if you know him, the lead singer. He's no longer identifying as a Christian, but that's a huge Christian rock band, and like we went on that rabbit trail, and he's like and she's like, oh yeah, I definitely know this one. Oh, POD, that was a good one. POD
is a good, come on.
Yeah. But yeah,
that's,
man,
like the pinnacle
that I see. I liked them.
Reliant K, POD.
Exactly. I liked them long before I was ever a Christian or anything. Like I remember my granddad was giving me a hard time because he was like, I feel like I can fly. What is this hippie shit? He literally said that to me, my granddad. And I'm like, granddad, I think that they're high on Jesus. I don't think anyway, it was really funny. Granddad, how dare you? Anyway, man. So, Under Oath, you passed the vibe check. Way to go, man.
I know. It's... Yeah, and if anyone else wants, they could follow. Pastor D has a social media account now. He just started like a week ago.
Did he?
So,
oh my God.
He did. It's just Pastor D-E-E-E.
Okay.
So check him out. He'll have some advice for everyone on like how to deal with drinking at parties and stuff coming up. So, you know, just good fashion leadership.
I need it. Yeah, dude, that needs to be like that needs to live on in infamy. Like youth pastor Dave, Pastor D gives you all the terrible advice that you don't want to hear.
Oh, yeah. Or, I still have the soul patch in my backpack.
So funny, man. Gosh. Okay. Well, listen, man, it's been such a pleasure. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can we find you? Can we follow you? Are you on the webs, online?
I am. Yeah. I'm not like a huge social media guy. But yeah, just Jeff Ryan. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. And then, yeah, I mean, the easiest way is just, or jeffryan.org is my website. I'm an organization. So, you know, no big deal.
You're not a businessman. You're a business man.
Yes. Thank you.
That's right. Hashtag Jay-Z. I have to say, I love that about you. Honestly, one of the things that I actually, when I was kind of like stalking you online was like, and we'll land with this, I promise. But, what I saw was like, okay, here's a person putting his energies into actually making the thing and not constantly, you know, self-curating to the point where it's like your full-time job is like promoting the thing. And, I don't know, man, it really did inspire me. Like even like I just love what you're doing, like independent films. Like, it's such a, I'm sure for you, it's like a labor of love at times, but, I mean, just keep it up, man. I just feel like you're really doing, I mean, we keep joking the Lord's work, but you really are doing great work. I'm excited to see what you do next. So we'll keep following you and seeing what's going on.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, it means the world to, you know, anyone watching the movie means the world to us. And, it really was just like a project out of love. And, we just know how hard it is to get anyone to pay attention to anything. So we're just so appreciative. And, thank you so much for having us on the podcast, honestly.
Of course, man. No, it's my pleasure. Anytime I can talk about this weird world of Christianity with someone who gets it.
Yeah. It's
fun for me.
Go on for hours.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you could make a whole podcast about it. Apparently
you really could.
Yeah, we should start something. No. Oh, man. Awesome, Jeff. Well, dude, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. And also just like an affirmation just for you is like, I actually think like this podcast that you're doing is pretty incredible. And like just hearing the conversation with you and Nate, like that gives me hope to like, like it's refreshing, honestly. Like it's a great name for the podcast because it's like a thing you don't hear about anymore. And the fact that you guys are doing this and getting like all the podcasts that you are and like are all somewhat related to, I think are doing incredible work and like actually giving our generation of like growing up in the church like hope to like not be like so like I don't know, have such negative connotations.
Dude, it's something I struggle with all the time. And so thank you. I receive that. I appreciate it. I mean it. I wrestle with bitterness and anger and resentment so much. And I think it comes through.
Yeah.
But that's just the reality, man. And like, that's the hard part is like, that's why I kind of wanted to own the word Christian, which is a word I struggle with. Like you described it well, like you're not going to lead with that with somebody because that means something completely different.
Totally.
Donald Trump's a Christian, apparently. So,
I know.
If
there was ever a thing to like totally, to never say it again, it was that.
Well, and not to go on a rant, but you watch that whole QAnon series on HBO right now, and it's like, that's what this is synonymous with, and it's like, dude, I want to reclaim that for so many reasons, but at the same time, it's like, let's be real about the shit that we're dealing with. From Christianity or from the church or whatever, like, but no, really honestly, Jeff, that does mean a lot. We don't hear a lot of, sometimes we, like you mentioned pushback, we get so much flack for what we do. So that means a lot coming from you. So
totally.
But yeah, man. Cool, man. Well, listen, I'll.
Yeah, man. That's. Well, I could always. Oh, go ahead. I could always.
No. You.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Go. Oh no. Yeah, I just like, I think the thing, like, and I'm sure you get this as well. Like, I, at least for me, when I hear someone who's like, I left the church for these reasons, and because of this movie, I, you know, we had a former lesbian pastor come up to us after a film festival, and was like, this movie, like, actually, like, just made me think about going back to church for the first time, knowing that there's people out there Wow. who don't just like spew hate, and you're like, holy shit, like. Well, we were just like dicking around making a movie, but that's incredible that you think that way. And that to me is like, it's like the only thing I latch on to, because like for all the people that will like throw shade that you're like pushing against the norms and all that, like there's one person out there who might need it more than those people.
No,
you're not preaching to the choir. You're preaching to those who like actually are on the fence.
Can I say something that may sound cheesy, but like it's real. Like that to me is Jesus leaving the 99 to go for the one. Like,
agreed. Yeah, that's how I feel too.
And that matters. Like that one person, that person who is a lesbian, like, oh man, like I have so much love for. We've even said on this podcast that we're affirming and like people. I don't know, man.
I mean, that's like the topic that like no one actually knows like definitively anything. And that's why I'm like, I have no idea. And I'm not going to like take a stance. And that's our movie. Like I mean, obviously we have like the blowjob conversation. That's why we wanted to make it a joke about the miscommunication, not about him being gay or not. Like we didn't want to say anything because we knew it would just like ruffle feathers that didn't need to be ruffled. And we were like, it's just like, it's a thing that like everyone wants to be like the main discussion. Not that it can't be discussed, but it's like, it's just alienating always. And it's always like, I don't know. When's it been a good conversation? That's like,
totally.
I've never seen it work.
Yeah.
Like, change someone's.
Yeah. It's like, never come out well. Like, I just did a podcast with somebody who is, in a straight marriage, but is same-sex attracted is what she calls it. And she like is of the mind where you don't act on it. You don't act on like, and I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Like, and I'm just like, for me, and like, don't get me wrong. Like people are allowed to have their thoughts on that. And that's like, but for me, it's like, I don't know any other way to love people than to be like fully embracing, fully accepting, fully inclusive. Like, like, and again, it's like you said, like, I don't know if that's quote wrong or whatever you want to call it, but I don't think it's wrong. And if it is, like people want to they want to say, well, the Bible says, or it's so clear, it's not clear. Jesus never once talked about it.
Yeah. And it's not. Like,
yeah,
I know. Even, it's like,
even,
and it's the thing that we talk about like 90% of the time.
It's crazy, man. I really, and I loved that. Like it did kind of point at like, it pointed at the subject, but it didn't like, but it was just like, I have my first gay student. Like, it was like, it wasn't like, it didn't become like this, like heated, you know, theological debate or some bullshit, like, which I was so grateful for, but yeah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, listen, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you, Jeff. Seriously. We need to keep in touch.
I'll
keep following you, following along, and I'd love to have you back sometime if you wanna do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you so much. You're the first podcast for youth men. So, thank
and if
you.
I can, Tom's I got to get one of these sweaters sometime. I'll buy it from you.
Okay. We're gonna start selling them at some point because they are a hit.
I love it.
Want
it looks great. It's like the dad sweater vibe. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Awesome, man. Well, I'll let you go. You have a great day, man. All right. There you have it, my friends. What'd you think? How do you feel? Did all those weird nostalgic moments from your time in youth group kind of crop up? I mean, it's you probably have to watch the movie to feel more that way, but I don't know. Did you feel like you watched the movie? It's just so funny. There's like, if you haven't seen the movie, I guess like, you know, not many spoilers, I suppose, but like, there's just so many things that we discussed that I just feel like was just so universal in every youth group. Like, you got the quiet girl, you've got the goth girl who's kind of mad and angry at everyone, and you got the kid who's always taking notes, and you got all these kids in the youth group that have nowhere else to go, and they're kind of forced to go to church sometimes, so it's kind of like a glorified babysitting environment. So anyway, check out Youth Men, download it, go to Amazon Prime Video, it's in the show notes, and I think you'll like it. If you want a good laugh, if you want to, depending on your experience, some of that purity culture stuff or whatever, some of that harm, I think this will poke some fun at it. And if you want to laugh at it a little bit and kind of make fun of, you know, that experience, I think this will be therapeutic. And yeah, hopefully you got a few nuggets out of this conversation. And yeah, I'm just a huge fan of Jeff. He's an awesome guy. He's a bright filmmaker, and he's just getting after it, making stuff. And yeah, I'm all for supporting people who are doing the Lord's work, as he said, or just doing interesting work. So anyway, all that to say, if you haven't already, please leave us a review in iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. We will read it out on the air. What? We will do that because, you know, we are just those people who, you know, if that's going to encourage you to do it, then we'll do it. But anyway, all that to say, we recently got a really encouraging email from somebody. And it says this: stumbled across this podcast a week ago and have been binging since. Greatly appreciate the candor, open-mindedness, and humility with which you approach people and their thoughts. Have many of my own doubts, which have been articulated and brought to light through your episodes, and I'm very grateful for this. A topic I would like to hear, we love hearing what you'd like to hear, explored would be interfaith dating and marriage. Yeah. That is an interesting topic, he says. But the topic in general, I imagine, would resonate with many listeners. Appreciate you guys and excited to keep listening. Ah, Eric, thank you. Thank you so much, Eric. I won't mention your last name, but Eric, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. We, believe it or not, the stuff that we talk about, we don't always hear the nicest of comments. So for every one kind review, you can imagine we've received twice as many hate filled ones. So we really do appreciate it. So if you leave us a review, an honest review, hopefully, it really does mean a lot and it really does encourage us. So yeah, please leave us a review in iTunes. Subscribe if you haven't already so you never miss an episode. And we're on Patreon, so if you want to support this podcast, you want to support me and the work that I'm doing, it means a lot. So patreon.com/refreshinglyhonestchristian. We've got 3 different tiers you can choose from with different rewards. We've got t-shirts, we've got stickers, we've got pins, we've got all that fun stuff, and it's exclusive to Patreon members. So go check that out. And that's enough for me this week, you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. It really does mean a lot. And I just have to say, every time I hit record and and hop on here and release an episode, it really is so life-giving to me. And I hope that that could be said for you as well. I hope that this serves you in some small way or capacity. Recently, on our Instagram account, we're actually back on social media, if you don't already know. We were a little bit quiet for a little bit, but we're back. And we've been way more active there, and things have just been blowing up on Instagram lately. So we've been focusing some attention more there. We've been doing this weekly Q&R discussion every Sunday, live at 5 Pacific Standard Time. So if you want to tune into that, we're going to be doing that. It's just been super fun. I love talking with you guys. We want to keep this discussion going. As we always say, we want to make this conversation I just want you to know how much I appreciate you showing up here, listening. And lately, on the Instagram, we've been talking about getting better, not bitter. I think in a lot of honest dialogue, it's really easy to get jaded or cynical, and that's something that we're trying to work towards. That's the refreshing part of Refreshingly Honest Christian. So here's to that. Here's to getting better, not bitter. And I wish you well, my friends. We'll see you next time.